walk in his laws which he set before us. Dearly beloved brethren, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, but confess them with a humble, lowly, penitent, and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do, when we assemble and meet together to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice under the throne of the heavenly grace, saying after me. Please kneel, please. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from our ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou those, O God, who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent. According to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life. To the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who desireth not the death of a sinner, but rather that he may turn from his wickedness and live, and hath given power and commandment to his ministers to declare and pronounce to his people, being penitent, the absolution and remission of their sins, he pardoneth and absolveth all those who truly repent and unfeignedly believe his holy gospel. Wherefore, let us beseech him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him which we do with this present, and that the rest of our life hereafter may be pure and holy, so that at the last we may come to his eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, O God.
in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember the marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham his servant, ye children of Jacob his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the world. He hath been always mindful of his covenant and promise that he made to 1,000 generations, even the covenant that he made with Abraham, and the oath that he sware unto Isaac, and appointed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting testament, saying, Unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When there were yet but a few of them, and they strangers in the land, what time as they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, but reproved even kings for their sakes. Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a dearth upon the land, and destroyed all the provision of bread. But he had sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold to be a bondservant, whose feet they hurt in the stocks, the iron entered into his soul, until the time came that his cause was known. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and delivered him. The prince of the people let him go free. He made him lord also of his house, and ruler of all his substance, that he might inform his princes after his will, and teach his senators wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob was a stranger in the land of Ham. And he increased his people exceedingly, and made them stronger than their enemies, whose heart turned so that they hated his people, and dealt untruly with his servants. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated.
Here beginneth the 11th verse of the second chapter of the first epistle general of Peter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Here endeth the first lesson.
Please join me in the Te Deum on page 6 of the Book of Common Prayer.
Your mercy, the Father, have seen. To the only true seated. Here beginneth the 16th verse of the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." It rendered the second lesson.
Please
join
me in the Benedictus on page 11.
Thank you.
sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please kneel for people.
The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Have mercy upon us, miserable sinners. Oh,
persons in one God. Have mercy upon us, miserable sinners. O Holy, Blessed, Glorious Trinity, three persons in one God. Have mercy upon us, miserable sinners. Remember not more our offenses, nor the offenses of our forefathers, neither take thou vengeance of our sins. Spare us, good Lord, spare thy people whom thou hast redeemed with thy most precious blood, and be not angry with us forever. Spare us, good Lord, from all evil and mischief, from sin, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from thy wrath, and from everlasting damnation. Good Lord, deliver us from all blindness of heart, from pride, vainglory, and hypocrisy, from envy, hatred, and malice, and all uncharitableness. Good Lord, deliver us from fornication and all other deadly sin, and from all the deceits of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Good Lord, deliver us from lightning and tempest, from plague, pestilence, and famine, from battle and murder, and from sudden death. Good Lord, deliver us from all sedition, privy, conspiracy, and rebellion, from all false doctrine, heresy, and schism, from oneness of heart, and contempt of thy word and commandment. Good Lord, deliver us by the mystery of thy holy incarnation, by thy holy nativity and circumcision, by thy baptism, fasting, and temptation. Good Lord, deliver us by thine agony and bloody sweat, by thy cross and passion, by thy precious death and burial, by thy glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Ghost. Good Lord, deliver us in all time of our tribulation, in all time of our wealth, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment. Good Lord, deliver us. We sinners do beseech thee to hear us, O Lord God, and that it may please thee to rule and govern thy holy church universal in the right way. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to rule the heart of thy servant, the President of the United States, and all others in authority, that under them we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to be their defender and keeper. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to enter the legislature and the ministers of state with grace, wisdom, and understanding. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to bless and keep the judges and magistrates, giving them grace to execute justice and to maintain truth. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to illuminate all bishops, priests, and deacons with true knowledge and understanding of thy word, and that both by their preaching and living they may set it forth and show it accordingly. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to bless and keep all thy people. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to give to all nations unity, peace, and concord. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to give us a heart to love and dread thee, and diligently to live after thy commandments. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to give to all thy people increase of grace, to hear meekly thy word, and receive it with pure affection, and to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to bring into the way of truth all such as erred and are deceived. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to strengthen such as to stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted, and to raise up those who fall, and finally to beat down Satan under our feet. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to succor, help, and comfort all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to preserve all who travel by land, by water, or by air, all women laboring with child, all sick persons and young children, and to show thy pity upon all prisoners and captives. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to defend and provide for the fatherless children and widows, and all who are desolate and oppressed. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to have mercy upon all men. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to give and preserve to our use the kindly fruits of the earth, so that in due time we may enjoy them. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, that it may please thee to give us true repentance, to forgive us all our sins, negligences, and ignorances, and to endure us with the grace of thy Holy Spirit, to amend our lives according to thy holy word. We beseech thee to hear us, good Lord, Son of God. We beseech thee to hear us, Son of God. We beseech thee to hear us, O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. Grant us thy peace, O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world. Have mercy upon us, O Christ, hear us. O Christ, hear us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, deal not with us after our sins, neither reward us after our iniquities. Let us pray. O God, merciful Father, who despiseth not the sign of a contrite heart, nor the desire of such as are sorrowful, mercifully assist our prayers that we make before thee in all our troubles and adversities, whensoever they oppress us, and graciously hear us, that those evils which the craft and subtlety of the devil or man worketh against us be brought to naught, and by the providence of thy goodness they may be dispersed, that we thy servants, being hurt by no persecutions, and for the glory of thy name, turn from us all those evils that we most justly have deserved, and grant that in all our troubles we may put our whole trust and confidence in thy mercy, and evermore serve thee in holiness and pureness of living to thy honor and glory, through our only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications unto thee, and has promised that when two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt grant their requests. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be most expedient for them, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Join me in the 26th verse of Psalm 105, found on page 219 of the Psalms of David in meter, page 219 of the black books in your pew.
Serve and close as he did, sent there on his
St. John chapter 16, verse 22. In this third week of Easter, and this third week of resurrection joy, we are provided with what may seem to be an odd set of readings for the season. The first, from St. Peter, precedes last week's epistle and demands that all Christians offer every physical desire and political priority to an unashamedly painful and worldly glory-denying life. A life whose sole focus rests in the proclamation of the gospel. That joyful declaration of what God has done on the bloody cross and in the empty tomb. Peter can tell the persecuted members of the early church to honor the mad emperor who was murdering their brothers and sisters in the faith because a new reality had been laid over the day-to-day operations of our fallen, dying world. The mission of the church is to do whatever it takes to aid the Spirit in saving those individual, immortal souls who make up our families and neighbors and enemies. That mission supersedes every loyalty because it is an eternal loyalty with everlasting implications. If you have another one of those, you can put it above this one. We are to be, as the church, the immovable rock of truth, the foaming waters of strife thunder by, crashing against us, knocking off pieces of ourselves we thought we could never lose, but never changing the position of that rock, constantly. Peter reminds us that emperors and presidents will come and go, and come and go, and come and go. But the truth will remain forever. And so we continue to do our good works in the name of the God whose love binds us to the new earth to which we truly belong. The new earth revealed in the here and now by our Holy Spirit-inspired faithfulness. These commands from Peter are tough, right? But they are the terrible and awful responsibility of any man or woman who dare call himself a Christian. And so it is very well that Peter's tough commands are paired with the comfort we find on the lips of Jesus in today's second lesson. Chapter 16 of the Gospel according to St. John places us in the midst of our Lord's farewell discourse, the holy last will and testimony of the apostles' beloved master and friend, given in the hours before the world murdered its creator with the wooden nails he would have daily handled earthly father's workshop. This discourse is a series of intimate and wonderful moments in which we see the unbelievable love Christ has for these men who would soon abandon him to a death sentence he didn't deserve. How many of us would be able to respond in love and encouragement to a group of trusted disciples who, when we seem to need them the most, would leave us to die, leave us to feel in our hearts that they love themselves more than us. As God the Son, of course, Jesus would not have been shocked by this betrayal. There's that wonderful line, the beginning of John's Gospel, where he says he knows the hearts of men. And he knows our hearts. He's not surprised. But as the fully human man he truly is, the pain of their rejection must have been terrible. How can he still love these men? How can he still love them despite their great
blessedly. When Jesus sees these weak and scared men gathered around him, he sees so much more than their worst sins of their life. He certainly sees what these men are in their worst moments. He knows it. But he also sees what these men will become. He knows what great works the Holy Spirit will do through them. He knows the mountains they will climb, the riots they will start. He knows the empires they will tear down, and the hearts they will break and remake for the love of the Lord, whose name no torture will be able to tear from their lips. As Jesus prays to his heavenly Father in the next chapter, we get a piece of that. He says to them, "My disciples are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." When Jesus looks into the eyes of his apostles, he sees every generation of Christian who will rise from their witness, even as the world tries to crush them in its malice and wickedness. When he looks in their eyes, he sees you. And so, our Lord, though, must leave them for a little while, become the means of their sanctification, their means of being made holy, their means of being set apart from an evil and terrible world for the service of God, the means by which they can become the holy heralds of the resurrection. Jesus must become himself the holy, set-apart sacrifice for the sins of the world, so that the apostles can become the men the world desperately needs them to be. Again, a world in which the disciples, in their fallenness, actually belong. A world that rejoices at the death of Christ. A world that celebrates whenever the Christian witness to new life is stamped out or marginalized or polluted by the weakness of spiritual powers. Make no mistake, the world we inhabit is not patiently waiting for us to just bring them the gospel. The world that nailed Christ to a tree is the same world we now inhabit, still filled with the same darkened hearts that just want to be left alone to die. We cannot expect to make a spiritual truce with a world which looks like that. And if we have some kind of a separate peace with evil, we have disconnected ourselves from the peace Christ was willing to die to establish. There is no peace but his peace. Everything else is a lie. And any agreement our society would have us make which prevents us from proclaiming this true peace in every conversation and activity we have, that separate false peace is a death sentence, even if it is offered with a smile rather than a scowl. Again, we can never forget, the world rejoices at the death of Christ. It rejoices at the sorrow of his disciples, right? Because then they're wrong, and I can live any way I want to, right? That's the grim edge of that. They're wrong, so I can be God. Good, they're dead. Good, they're dead. But we have to remember that the sorrow of the apostles, our sorrow, is transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this resurrection glory is applied to the recreated hearts of the disciples through the coming of the Holy Spirit. the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. St. John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. We find that sorrow is inevitably turned to joy when we become the children of God by being united to the new ruler of the world. And we are united to the new king of the cosmos by the Holy Spirit. It is necessary that he leave to send the Spirit. And that Spirit leads us back to him. We are not united to God through sentimentality or wishful thinking or worldly comfort. No. We are united to God through the world-saving work of the Trinity, to whom we owe constant praise and worship. To describe this whole process, Jesus uses a fascinating analogy, right? It's a simple one, but incredibly powerful. That of a woman giving birth. Right? A woman experiencing the terrible danger and pain, which serves as a living link back to the fall of man. Living, observable link. Built into this example is the inescapable fact of the human condition. That all our life is sorrow. All life is sorrow. After all, even our happiest moments on earth come to us tinged with the darkness of our future destruction. Jesus saves this world by embracing suffering along with us, right? Coming into our suffering with us and conquering it with the love that perseveres through pain and abandonment. Just as a mother perseveres in the midst of toil to bring a new life into the world, Christ suffers the worst the world can throw at him and rises from his empty tomb, rises from the womb as the new humanity. All this suffering was pointing us toward. His new manhood, humanity, no longer plagued by pain and death and sorrow, that ushers in a new era of perfect joy into the world. Because through the Holy Spirit, we too can embrace this life of real goodness humanity was created to embody. We too can begin to live our lives of resurrected glory. Because sorrow has been given a new meaning. We can gaze upon our bloodied Savior, our suffering Savior. We can gaze on him and know that his story has become our own. That our story is united to his forever. It is this joy made incarnate, this joy made flesh, in the risen Christ, which no man can take from us. Who is strong enough to send Jesus back to the grave? Who? No one. If that's the case, then it is that incarnate joy which will return, right? That's coming back to embrace all those who suffer for the love of God. And that joy will let us join with him in the eradication of suffering and the enjoyment of a recreated world. Knowing this joyful future is our reality makes every command of Paul and Peter and James and John perfectly fall into place. We can embrace our destiny in the pain and suffering of this world and never again worry about the judgment of our sinful neighbors. Who cares? We can be happy warriors in the fight for truth and beauty and good. As we read in the epistle to the Hebrews, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight
and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:1-2. The joy our Lord carried to the cross is not the saccharine fakeness pumped out by Hollywood or smiling TV preachers. That's nothing. No. This crucifixion, resurrection joy is born of the resurrection. Born of the resurrection of Christ. Born of the resurrection of man in Christ. And it is a joy no man can take from us, because God earned it on the cross, and the Holy Spirit has engraven it in our hearts. You're his now, forever. Let us then run our race with joy. Joy. Emboldened by the example of Christ and our fellow saints. And let us carry our perfect, inexhaustible joy to our homes and to our jobs and to our deaths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The exhortation is found on page 251 of the Book of Common Prayer. Dearly beloved, on Sunday next I purpose, through God's assistance, to administer to all those who shall be religiously and devoutly disposed the most comfortable sacrament of the body and blood of Christ, to be received by them in remembrance of his meritorious cross and passion, whereby alone we obtain remission of our sins and are made partakers of the kingdom of heaven. Wherefore it is our duty to render most humble and hearty thanks to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, because he hath given his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, not only to die for us, but also to be our spiritual food and sustenance in that holy sacrament, which being so divine and comfortable a thing to those who receive it worthily, and so dangerous to those who presume to receive it unworthily, my duty is to exhort you, in the meantime, to consider the dignity of that holy mystery, and the great peril of the unworthy receiving thereof, and so do search and examine your own consciences, and that not lightly, and after the manner of dissemblers with God, but so that he may come holy and clean to such a heavenly feast, in the marriage garment required by God in his holy scripture, and be received as worthy partakers of that holy table. The way and means thereto is, first, to examine your life and conduct by the rule of God's commandments, and in whatsoever ye shall perceive yourselves to have offended, either by will, word, or deed, there to bewail your own sinfulness, and to confess yourselves to Almighty God with full purpose of amendment of life. And if you shall perceive your offenses to be such as are not only against God, but also against your neighbors, then ye shall reconcile yourselves unto them, being ready to make restitution and satisfaction, according to the uttermost of your powers, for all injuries and wrongs done by you to any other. And being likewise ready to forgive others who have offended you, as you would have forgiveness of your offenses at God's hand. For otherwise, the receiving of the Holy Communion doth nothing else but increase your condemnation. Therefore, if any of you be a blasphemer of God, a hinderer or slanderer of his word, an adulterer, or be in malice or envy or in any other grievous pride, repent you of your sins, or else come not to that holy table, lest after the taking of that holy sacrament, the devil enter into you, as he entered into Judas, and fill ye full of all iniquities, and bring into destruction both the body and soul. And because it is requisite that no man should come to the Holy Communion, but with a full trust in God's mercy and with a quiet conscience. Therefore, if there be any of you who by this means cannot quiet his own conscience, but requireth further comfort or counsel, let him come to me, or some other discreet and learned minister of God's word, and open his grief, that by the ministry of God's holy word he may receive the benefit of absolution, together with spiritual counsel and advice, for the quieting of his conscience and removing of all scruples and doubts. Please join me in the offertory hymn, hymn 551.
Thank you.
Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.